Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC.
Oh, hey, iPod, nice.
Yeah, it's just a little something to hold my slow jams.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and it works so seamlessly with iTunes.
You should check out iMovie, iPhoto, iWeb, because they all work like iTunes. You know, iLife. Comes on every Mac.
iLife. Well, I have some very cool apps that are bundled with me.
Well, like, what do you got?
Calculator.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Clock. A clock.
Sounds like hours of fun.
Yeah.
Or at least minutes.
Hello, and welcome to the Cullcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Irfan Elijah. Joining me today, when he's not penning the Apple news, you'll find him outdoors, flying his drone, most likely wearing those skimpy Daisy Duke shorts. Buster Kine is here.
Hello.
They're barely legal.
Barely.
In the state of Arizona. Yeah. Also joining us, his morning routine includes a cup of tea, a toasted crumpet, and putting on his Make America Great Again hat. Leander Cady is here.
Right. Make America Great Again. I've got one that looks like it. It says WTF America?
If you had a MAGA hat, it could stand for Make Apple Great Again. That would be relevant as well.
Okay.
I was trying to trigger you. You didn't go for it.
Oh, you were trying to set me off? Yeah. You know, I'll work up my rage during the show. We'll finish it off with an incendiary rant.
Well, before we begin, I want to give a shout out to listener Christopher Johnson, who just now tweeted me, I thought, how about a shout out? Good timing, Chris. He says, I love the show. I am a porn actor, and we listen to the show in between scenes.
What?
He's at GoNorth21 on Twitter. We have listeners from all spectrums of life, Leander.
I can't imagine that this show helps with his, you know.
His performance. Right. Anxiety, actually. It just kind of gets him in the zone.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, we should get him to write us an endorsement, right?
Yeah. Oh, there we go. There you go. Maybe it's like a solo show. Who knows? Didn't give very many details. But what up, Chris? Thanks for listening. We appreciate you.
Chris Johnson. I was going to say, is that a real name?
Christopher Johnson. That's probably his civilian name.
His, I don't know. It sounds like a porn name.
You think so? Oh, yeah. That's true. It kind of does, doesn't it?
Right.
Just because his last name is Johnson.
Johnson.
Johnson! Yeah, I agree. I didn't even catch that the first time. Leander's real in tune with porn names.
Culture, right?
The porn culture. If you ever have a question, he's at L. Kenny on Twitter. He can answer any question you may have. Even about the real weird stuff that may not even be legal. Leander's got the answers for that stuff, too.
Yeah.
Well, we, in a moment, are going to run through this week's best Apple news. That's what we do here every week. Oh, and we're going to be wrapping up with a all-new Faves and Raves at the end of this episode, a segment we haven't done in quite a long time. So we've all got our picks. We're going to pitch each other our favorite gadgets or apps, I guess, whatever you have, and vote on which one's best. Before we do that, let me go ahead and say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. It's a new year. Maybe you are planning on making your move in 2017. Maybe you're going to start a business. You want to start an e-commerce website, sell some wares. Maybe you want to feature your artwork or your photography online. Maybe you're a wedding photographer. Squarespace makes it so very easy and simple to get started with a beautiful website quickly without having to know how to code. You'll be up and running in no time at all. You can customize everything via their simple drag-and-drop UI. They have put a ton of effort into the system that you use to design your site, and it allows you to customize everything so you can make your website look uniquely yours, and you can build it quickly, and you won't need a developer to help you. You won't need anyone to help you manage it. You'll be able to do everything yourself, and if you get stuck, Squarespace has award-winning 24/7 customer service to help you out. I've used Squarespace for years now. I love it. I pay for it every single month. If you need a website, it's absolutely the place that you should start. Head on over to squarespace.com, and you can get started with a free two-week free trial. You can build a website, use all of Squarespace's functionality and see what you get. And if you like what you have at the end of that trial, you can use code CULTCAST at checkout. You'll save 10% off any order. And if you order a year of service, you can get an additional 20% off. So you can save 30% off total. That's at squarespace.com. And the offer code is CULTCAST at checkout. Okay, let me address a couple of housekeeping issues before we jump into the news here.
Housekeeping?
You want to make a pillow? This is important. If you've listened for a while, you may have figured out that we're approaching our fifth year of doing this. Can you believe
Damn.
That? 5 years of doing that. Leander, when I told you, you didn't even believe me.
Yeah. It seems like a really long time.
Yeah. Especially when you think back, you're like, boy, it really does feel like a long time, like it's never ending. So we got our 5-year anniversary coming up, and as we've done many times before, we're gonna attempt to do a live show. We'll see how this goes. I feel like every time we do a live show, it's an absolute train wreck.
Yeah.
And we can barely get it working.
What else would it be?
Yeah, it starts and stops like 4 times, and we end up having to, you know, end it early. So we'll have more information on that. It's going to be in about 3 weeks or so, later at the end of February. And if you want more information about it, you can follow any of us on Twitter. And you can also check us out on Reddit, thecultcast.reddit.com. And actually, I want to ask for your help. So we're hitting 5 years now. And one of the things I wanted to do was get feedback from people. I want to know, what could we do better? What kind of topics would you like to hear us talk about on the show? Any of your suggestions, any of your feedback, absolutely welcome. I you know, one of the things I love about doing this show is interacting with all of you that listen, and I love hearing from you. I love getting your suggestions and your feedback, and even your criticisms. I read all everything that I get, and we're gonna start a thread on Reddit, again, thecultcast.reddit.com, where you can offer up all that feedback, and I would really appreciate if you guys would take the time to leave us some feedback, so we kind of know where we stand and what we could be doing differently in the new year. I think that's it. Okay, let's jump into the first bit of news of the day. One of the most cringeworthy things I saw all week. Did you guys watch that new ad from Justin Long?
I didn't watch it. I just saw something about it.
Oh my gosh, dude. So the Get a Mac, or I'm a Mac and PC ads that, what did they stop, like 2-3 years ago?
Mm-hmm. I think it was like 5 years ago.
Yeah, was it that least. Long ago? Wow.
Even more.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Some of the greatest commercials ever put out there, I think, in my personal opinion. You know, the Mac versus PC commercials.
Right.
And Justin Long is now doing commercials for this company called, I don't even know if I'm going to say this right, Huawei? Huawei?
Well, I think it's Huawei.
Huawei.
Okay. Huawei. And he's selling phones for this company, and it's kind of I'm a Mac esque in its design. It has the same feel as those commercials did, but they're of course not the same. And it's just him, and he's pimping out this new phone. And Huawei is a Chinese company, and they're trying to get started in the U.S. I think they're pretty large, aren't they? Let's see here. They're the third largest smartphone maker in the world, just behind Apple.
Yeah, they're big.
They're huge, and they've got 10% of the global market of phones. Do you guys remember when we saw Huawei at CES for the first time? I think this is like 3 years ago.
Actually, no, it doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah, I do. And it was really weird because they just seemed like an off-brand Chinese company, and now they're trying to be like legit in the U.S., it seems like.
Right. So I'm sensitive to brand names, and I think this might be one of the worst brand names I have ever heard. At least for the U.S. market, Huawei just does not sound like a cool brand. Like, it's like, do you remember the car company Daewoo?
Yeah. Horrible name.
Just even saying that makes you sound like such a nerd. Like, I got a Daewoo. Like, if you have a Daewoo, you are never gonna get a date in your entire life. I feel like Huawei is the mobile version of Daewoo.
You got a
it's
Huawei?
Just not a cool brand
Sorry,
name.
Can't yeah. see anymore.
Dude, is that the Huawei? You're like, that's what I got, bro. Yeah. Dude, sick Huawei. It just doesn't sound like a cool brand. Like, I feel like they should have changed the name to something that is a little bit more...
I wonder if it sounds cool in China, though. Like, we're giving it shit, and they're like, oh, Apple, that's such a lame name. You know?
Right. It should have been Phaser Beam Computers as well as what it's named for sure. That would have been better. But Huawei, yeah, just a thought. I feel like certain brands work well in certain cultures, and Huawei just doesn't sound like a cool brand. Leander, you're being probably intentionally quiet over there.
Right. I'm not gonna get dragged into this.
I'm not asking you to make some kind of like cultural judgment. I'm just saying, do you
it
like
is
the
a
word?
Cultural judgment? You're
no,
totally making
not.
A cultural judgment.
Thank you. No, it's not. It's just a word.
It's a perfectly nice Chinese name. I have no problem with it at all.
I'm not saying it's not a nice Chinese name. I'm just saying, in the U.S., as far as brand names go. Does it sound like a cool brand to you?
Well, yeah. I mean, when you say it, it looks better written down than when you pronounce it.
I actually agree with that,
mispronounce it. It looks fine written. In fact, I have Huawei Nexus device they made for Google. And it's a super nice piece of hardware. They really make nice things.
Google does.
Well, you know, it's a Huawei phone that's being branded a Google Nexus. And this is like last year's model. Mm. But it's, it's super nice.
I'm not saying they don't have nice phones. I'm not saying anything. I just think the sound of the word or the brand name is just...
Well, it looks great written down, and I think we're probably butchering it anyway.
No, I watched the commercial with Justin Long. I think he did pronounce it Huawei.
Okay.
Huawei.
Huawei.
There you go. That's good. That should be their mnemonic. In any case, Justin Long has sold his soul and is dead to us. He was so great in those.
Well, did you like him? I identified more with John Hodgman character, the PC character.
He's the best part
of
that.
I identified you more with his character too. I kind of more identified with the cool guy, like cool Mac guy. He was just like making the photo books on his Mac. But you're more of an Excel guy. I get that.
Right. With the ill-fitting clothes and food stains down my front.
He wants to make a spreadsheet for vacation.
Yeah. Right. This is exactly the kind of thing I do, yeah.
Actually, you remind me more of the British version of John Hodgman.
Oh,
what's that guy's name?
Yeah. Oh, heck. I do know his name. He was in this hilarious show.
He's popular in Great Britain, right?
Yeah. They were in this great show that was super funny.
That nerd show, right? The guy you're talking about?
The nerd show?
Like where he was IT support or something like that?
Yeah, the IT guy.
Oh, he was
guys,
in that was show.
In that?
I'm pretty sure if we're thinking about the same guy.
Oh. Well, the show I'm thinking of is Peep Show. He was in Peep Show.
Mm.
The two of them, that both of those guys were in it. Robert Webb. I'm sorry, what is his name?
I don't know.
David Mitchell.
David Mitchell.
That sounds right.
And Robert Webb, yeah. Robert Webb was a cool one. David Mitchell is a schlubby one. And they're in Peep Show. I would recommend Peep Show. It is super, super funny. It might be a bit British, though, for some people's taste. Yeah. But and it's really pretty. I watch it with my brother, and he laughs so hard that it's infectious, so it starts me laughing. And then we're there with our kids, and it's really, really inappropriate.
They should check out the Apple ads, too. So they made, you've probably seen the U.S. Apple ads with Justin Long and John Hodgman, but they made British versions, too, which I've played a couple times on this show, and they're really great. That guy is really funny. He seems like one of those guys that you want to go have a drink with, like Katie. But the night will end with him grabbing your bollocks and squeezing as hard as he can.
He's not like that.
He's not like that. No. He is not. Okay. Let's talk about Nintendo a little bit. We got some news that Nintendo is going to be releasing at least two new mobile games a year. You know, the Switch console is actually right around the corner. I pre-ordered mine, and Target just charged my credit card for it. So it should be coming out any day now. And Nintendo's having a rough time. They have announced recently that they are slashing a third off their forecasted operating profit for 2013, probably because the Wii U is, you know, no one really bought it, and it was also on its way out, you know, and people knew it was kind of coming to a close, and now they're releasing the Nintendo Switch, which actually has sold, from what I heard, the pre-orders were greater than that of even the PS4, which is immensely popular. So I think they're going to have a hit on their hands, although I'm kind of a little apprehensive about the third-party game support, because normally I feel like Nintendo consoles, the games that are good are only ever Nintendo's games and no one else ever supports it. But they're going to be releasing 2 Nintendo games a year for iOS and Android. Buster, your thoughts on this?
Oh, snap. As long as they're a little bit better than Super Mario Run, I'm cool with that.
What, you didn't like Super Mario Run?
It was okay, but it wasn't that great. I was kind of mad that I spent 10 bucks on it, to be honest.
Oh, you're the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that guy.
You and Alex are the guys that bought it.
I don't like it either. Did you like it, Irfan?
I did like it, but I didn't like it enough to spend 10 bucks.
Yeah.
Most iOS games, for whatever reason, I lose interest in most iOS games pretty quickly. They're the only one that I find myself coming back to is, what's it called? Kingdom Rush.
Mm. Kingdom Rush. I love Kingdom Still Rush. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That game is so good.
That's the greatest game.
Yeah. If you like tower defense games, it's phenomenal and complicated enough to keep you coming back to it. But yeah, Super Mario Rush, I play it occasionally. But just the whole, you know, just it's basically just a more complicated version of Flappy Bird.
Yeah, exactly.
Never stop flapping.
Yeah.
Hashtag. And that's only entertaining for so long, right?
Yeah. I mean,
so just what I'd like to see Nintendo
3 seconds, maybe 2.
Especially Flappy Bird. It gets so frustrating so fast.
Yeah.
Their developer just released a new game too, didn't he?
He did.
What's it called?
God knows.
It's free. It's free. I know that. I'll put it in the show notes. It just came out. I don't think that the premise is as novel as Flappy Bird.
Yeah.
But, and you know, the weird thing is if it gets popular, he'll probably pull it like he did with Flappy Bird. I will never understand that decision. So for a lot of people that may not know, the Flappy Bird developer released that game, right? It was this huge hit, and it was reportedly making him $50,000 a day in sales. And then for whatever reason, he decided to pull it. And he said he felt bad that people were getting addicted to it. Right?
Yeah.
Well, how bizarre is that?
You know why it's weird? Because here's a guy with actually some moral values.
Moral values?
He doesn't sell out. It's so un-American.
What are you talking about? The guy released a game that was popular. What is immoral about a game that you flap?
Well, you know, like you said, weren't there some weird reports of people getting addicted to it? Wasn't there a strange report that somebody, I want to say, and I know as I'm saying it, it's untrue, played
I know
it so
what
long
I was about
he died,
say.
Right? Didn't someone die playing it? They were playing it for so long.
That's preposterous. There's no way that's true.
There was some ridiculous story like that, and because all the press it generated, and so there was all these ridiculous stories. And it was like some kid in Korea, right? Or something like that. He got thrown out of school or something strange. Does that not ring a bell?
I don't recall hearing it.
And I think it sort of set him off. It set him off. There was all these stories about the game and about people spending hours and hours so really frustrated trying to master it. Which, of course, was his design in the first place. So, that is a little bit perplexing, but...
I liked that game, but I was so bad at it. And I don't have the patience to master games that, take, 100 hours to figure out how to do perfectly. Because all it is tapping, right? So it's just the same mundane motion over and over and over again. And you'd have to do it just the right way so that your bird... Yeah, your timing has to be right. And after, I would say 60 seconds of that game, I would get tired. Especially if I hit more than two or three of those walls, I was like, "Yeah, done." Boy, we really got off track there. Why? What were we even talking about? Oh, Nintendo. Great news. I think this is great news. I have wanted Nintendo to release Nintendo games on other platforms for a long time, and I love that they are embracing this. And iOS is such a huge opportunity for them, such a massive platform. But I'd like to see them do games with maybe a little bit more traditional games. Buster, it sounds like you may agree with me. Like, we need a Zelda or a Mega Man, although Mega Man was Capcom. Yeah. But we need some of those traditional Nintendo games just on iOS. They don't need to take advantage of iOS's touch controls in any way. In fact, I'd be perfectly happy if they didn't use that mechanism in some smart way at all. What do you think?
I agree, yeah. Just bring the retro back, I don't know. I mean, they kind of tried to do that with Super Mario. Like, oh, it's a Mario game just for iOS. And it's like, no, I just want a Mario game. You know, that's the problem with, I think, Mario Rush.
You could have just released Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah. And I would have been sick.
And I would have been happy with that. Or Excitebike. What? In fact, Excitebike would have worked great on motion controls because you can control the like the lean of the bike. So that actually would have worked pretty well. Do you even know what game I'm talking about? Or did I just totally lose you?
Ooh. Huh? Yeah.
Buster Excitebike.
Where are we?
Excitebike.
Am I here?
We're talking about Excitebike.
Excitebike? I don't even know what that is.
Okay, that's why you went silent. You see, you were speaking in a way where I figured that you were...
I was nerding enough for you for a second.
You were versed in the classics, classics of Nintendo. But you never played Excitebike on the original NES and Entertainment console.
Sorry, my parents wouldn't let us have
one. Okay, that's all right. Yeah. That's all right. Yeah, that was a classic. Alrighty, let's talk about Nintendo's. Let's talk about Apple's blockbuster 2017 earnings call. Buster, you covered this, didn't you?
Oh, dude, I live blogged the shit out of that thing.
Wow. That must have been an exciting event to cover. I know the financial calls are usually just like super exciting. Everyone's hyped to get those numbers out there.
Numbers.
Yes, numbers. But I have to say, I was actually genuinely surprised by this earnings call because Apple pretty much blew the doors off everything, didn't they?
Yeah, like even beat their own expectations, really, just a little bit. But yeah, everybody was super shocked on it. I was expecting them to be lower than expected. So,
especially with iPhone, right?
Right, yeah, because, you know, the iPhone 7, like, it's just not that, like, super cool, I don't think. So I didn't think they would sell a ton of them. They did.
So Apple sold more iPhone units than ever before last quarter, and their total revenues were $78.4 billion, and they had a profit of $17.9 billion in 3 months.
Try to wrap your head around those numbers. Nearly $80 billion in 3 months.
In revenue, yeah. $18 billion dollars in profits in a three-month period. I mean, how long do you have to go making that kind of profit before you have $1 trillion, you know, like in the bank? That is insane. Tim Cook said he was thrilled with the results. Well, yeah. But I have to say, again, the iPhone thing was really surprising because I don't consider the iPhone 7 to be that exciting of a device. Just being honest with you guys. This doesn't make sense to me. Leander, what are your thoughts? I mean, the 7 not really being the most exciting iPhone that has ever been released.
And I think but it wasn't just cynics like us, you know, like, you know, old and tired and worn out tech hacks, you know. But everyone else, it was great. And it turns out no one really cared about the lack of a headphone jack, right? It was a complete non-issue.
Yeah.
Well, they obviously didn't care enough to not buy it.
Right. Yeah. Which is the ultimate test, isn't it?
Although, have you guys been caught in situations where you have had regular headphones with you and you wanted to plug them into your iPhone and you realized,
yesterday.
This literally happened to me 2 days ago.
I'm trying to plug it into my car, too.
Right.
I keep forgetting, but it's not that big a deal.
I mean, it sucks, but yeah, it's inconvenient sometimes, but it's not as annoying as I thought it would be.
Yeah, no, it's a really, really great phone. And I think for the camera, you know, a lot of people upgraded for the camera, and for the looks, you know, I mean, it's really
It looks exactly like the 6 and the 6.
Yeah. Well, for the piano black, I will bet that the black piano black finish, you know, had a lot to do with it. It's like a car, right? These days, you know, like cars are basic engineering of a car, you know, is good for 10 years, isn't it, or more. But every year they update it with new body styles and new trim, and people will buy them. And I think the same is true of phones these days.
If they made a jet white version of the 7 and improved just a few pieces of it and then changed the color, I would probably buy it. It's a powerful marketing tool, isn't it?
Yeah, there you go. You should check out Steve made some beautiful iPhone 8 ceramic mock-ups, which we're going to be putting out in the next couple of days.
Ceramic?
Yeah, his mock-ups look really gorgeous.
Did he make them in his home studio with his clay machine, his clay spinner? Yeah.
Well, they look really primitive. You know, like those. Remember those pots you used to make where you'd roll some clay into big fat sausages and then you'd wind it around a pot. That's what it looks like. Yeah.
Gorgeous. Well, why did he make them out of ceramic? Is there
because
a reason? Well,
ceramic's harder, so it would just be more durable. Because they wasn't Hawaii or was it? Xiaomi that made a ceramic concept phone that looked super sexy.
Or did he make like an actual physical?
No, just a computer generated model. Yeah.
Okay, so why did he make a computer generated model made out of ceramic?
Well, just for like a teaser, like a concept video. Like,
okay.
He didn't make it in ceramic. It's made to look like it's made from ceramic. It's a 3D computer.
Yeah, but what does ceramic
model?
Look like in a digital construct? It's the same as any other material.
Oh, sure.
Isn't it? Well, it's all shiny and,
okay.
So it looks like shiny, and it's in white. So it looks like shiny white plastic. It looks like, you know, it looks like a toilet bowl. Right, but
now I'm ready to spend $1,000 on it.
but it looks really, really nice.
Okay, you're when like, are those going up on the site?
He just put it in the Slack channel today to show us.
Nice.
To get some feedback. So okay. I'm not sure when he's planning to publish it, but the next couple of days.
Because if anything else, now people hear that he has a toilet bowl looking iPhone model, they're going to want to see that. Right. Just on that note alone.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else do we have? MacBook Pro with a touch bar was the most pre-ordered MacBook ever. Duh.
Again, right. It's people, but people were dissing it, weren't they? Look at all of the controversy around that. And turns out customers, you know, didn't care.
Well, I mean, look how long it had been since they had updated the MacBook Pro. People would have bought whatever Apple released.
Well,
Tim Cook could have put an order in for a Dell, and then just rebranded it Apple and released that, and people would have bought
Apple
it.
Sticker on it, maybe.
They just put a sticker over the top.
That may be true, but you know, there was a lot of bloviating about it, right? And it was like it was a sign that Apple is done, Apple's over. And in fact, that was the interesting thing about this quarter, wasn't it? Like all of a sudden, that narrative has come to a grinding halt, because you know, like the MacBook was just another sign that Apple's lost the plot, right?
Yeah, that was probably the thing that surprised me the most. Is we have heard so much bloviating, to use your term. Many times by us, about how Apple's releasing products that just aren't really exciting people as much as products of yore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And yet, they still come out with one of their, I think, their best quarter ever. So it was surprising because we see the products they're releasing, we don't think they're as good as they used to be, and yet Apple is still selling more products than ever before.
Right, and I think, you know, these are the very definition of mass market products, weren't they? I mean, a lot of the pro users were complaining the MacBook Pro wasn't pro enough for them. You know, they wanted something with all these different connectors, all these different ways to upgrade, all these different ways to customize it and make it, you know, for the pro market. But the pro market is that much sort of smaller, isn't it? This is like a mass market pro-ish machine.
Pro-ish. You
know what I mean? Prosumer.
I think
it's kind of like a prosumer
is probably the right
machine,
word. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is not necessarily a bad move, as the numbers prove.
Yeah. Well, clearly, if you want to sell units, it's not a bad move at all because they're aiming towards the fat part of the pro market, right? And
right.
Not just the elitists.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Who exactly. Need all these like connections? Although I wouldn't argue that a SD connection is a pro. Is a pro port, nor is USB-A connections. So I think it's still, I still think it was a weird decision to exclude all that stuff for just USB-C. In any case, let's see here. The iPad lineup was down, going down 19% from a year ago quarter.
But that was, yeah. What? Wasn't that compared to the quarter when they released the first Mac, the Pro? So it's a bit... You know, it's an unfair comparison.
Oh, you might have a good point.
Yeah.
I don't remember when the actual iPad Pro came out, but yeah, that would have inflated the numbers for when that came out.
And right.
We haven't gotten a new iPad in quite a while, so that's not really that surprising. And as we've talked about on this show, people hold on to their iPads forever.
Right. That's the problem they have here. All these iPad sales are for new customers. And he said that during the conference call, didn't he, Buster?
Yeah.
Tim Cook?
Right. Exciting stuff.
Which is astonishing, really. I mean, it's building the market out, you know. There was a lot of bloviating about the iPad as well. Oh, my God, the iPad is not the computer of the future after all.
Yeah.
You know, people aren't buying them anymore.
It's not. It's never been the computer of the future.
I think if the software was, I still just think it's a software problem, not a hardware thing. But
so, and we've talked about this before. So if they made it more like a, of a hybrid between not e- Mac OS,
well, not
and
even
iOS.
Just a hybrid, just so you could do some things you, the way you do on Mac, or just, I mean, I can't make GIFs on an iPad. I can't podcast on an iPad. Like, there's just simple things like you can't do. You know, they make it too difficult. Yeah. You have to use third-party apps to like do workarounds for all this stupid stuff. It's like, I don't know. People just don't use the iPad the same way they will use a computer. So I think until you're able to use an iPad like a computer fully, nobody's going to completely ditch their Mac. And the Mac's obviously doing super well.
The iPad, again, is just not made for content creation. It's you can do it. It's certainly possible. But you end up doing all these workarounds and never really works quite as well as a Mac does. It's a phenomenal computer for media consumption. No argument there. But I kind of wonder if anything is going to take over just having a traditional keyboard and a screen. There are certain things that just work. I mean, look how long the steering wheel's been around, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good control mechanism, and it's a good way to control your car. And after all this time, we still use them. And the only way you're really going to get rid of it is if you get rid of, you know, people driving cars. Otherwise, the steering wheel is never going to go anywhere. And I think that the keyboard, in a lot of ways, might kind of be similar to that. You just may always have a keyboard. Although, I was watching... total tangents. I was watching Star Trek Nemesis or something. Have you guys watched like the Star Trek Generation type movies?
Is that the one where like there's the people like the I don't know, it's like Data becomes organic or something like that. It's like weird one. The worst one.
I know exactly which one you're talking about. That actually might be that same one.
Uh-huh.
And I might be conflating my Star Trek movies here. I'm not really familiar with the newer Star Trek movies, the Next Generation movies, that is.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where they're like in big trouble and the ship's like in danger, and Riker is like, I need manual control. And then out of the floor, this freaking joystick comes up, right? It's like, it looks like a joystick for like an Xbox. And I burst out laughing. I was like, this is preposterous. This super futuristic machine where they have all these computers for everything they're doing. And when he needs manual control, like a freaking video game joystick comes out from the floor. And that's what he's going to use to fly the ship. It's because, yeah, dude, those manual control mechanisms, sometimes that's just what you need. You need to grab onto that joystick. Okay. Where are we?
Well, you know what Apple needs to do? The iPad needs to have a dedicated OS. Like, they can't they need to have, like, an iPad OS.
Exactly. Like, that's the problem. It's just a big iPhone. And people want a work machine, not a big iPhone, you know?
And they need to update it, right, and they need to update it every year so that it makes your old iPad really slow and unusable.
Yeah, so you got to buy a new one. Yeah.
There you go. That's the solution. iPad OS, I love that idea. That is 100% correct. That's what they need to do. To move the iPad from being a big iPhone, as Buster calls it, to like an actual usable work computer, because it could be. I mean, you could model it after the Surface Pro. You know, I hate to say that, but it's true. I mean, it's if you want to have a portable computer that could be used as a tablet and also as a computer, I think you need to have more computer functionality built into it. One of the other big things that I came away with was how huge services is becoming for Apple. And by services, I mean iCloud, you know, apps, Apple Pay. Apple raked in $7.2 billion in revenue from services last quarter, including $3 billion in App Store purchases in December alone, the biggest month app ever. App Store or Apple Pay users tripled in the past year, with transaction value increasing 500%. They're selling apps now, music, movies, iCloud storage, Apple Care, and this has become Apple's second largest money maker, and Apple expects the revenue from services to swell to the size of a Fortune 100 company by the end of the year. So just their services are going to be the same size as a Fortune 100 company, and this isn't even Apple's main business anymore.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And wasn't services not even supposed to be something Apple made money on? Remember, the whole point of services was to sell hardware, and it seems like they're moving away from that.
Well, I don't think they're really, like, trying to squeeze a ton of money out of services either. It's really more of a byproduct of just the iOS install base growing. And so, like, the more iPhones and iPads and Macs they sell, there's more iCloud storage, there's more Apple Music right. users, and so that just grows. You know, like they're really not even being dicks and trying to, yeah, penny pinch everybody on every little service and stuff. So, yeah, I think it's pretty impressive, really, how huge it's gotten so fast.
I don't know if this is still true, but they had said previously that they were running the App Store at break even. I wonder if that's still true. But also, now they have iCloud storage, which I'm going to get a little bit conspiracy theory on you guys. I think the 4K functionality on the new iPhone might be a tactic to get you to pay Apple more monthly service fees. And the reason I say that is because if you have a newer iPhone and you use 4K video, it will destroy your storage so fast that you will absolutely need to buy iCloud storage. And if you want to protect, you know, your movies and your photos and everything, and it just grows and grows and grows. And you're kind of stuck in the ecosystem. You can't really move that data anywhere very easily and have it sync across your devices in any kind of simple way. So you have to pay Apple this fee every month. And I'm currently paying I'm paying them $4 a month for 200 gigabytes. And I'm going to have to...
upgrade to $6 a month.
I'm going to have to upgrade. No, the next upgrade is $10. And then the one after that is $20.
Tim Cook's going to be dancing around his office when he hears that.
He's going to be swimming through his vault, spitting coins in the air
right.
in his one-piece bathing suit. But, I mean, all these people now paying for storage, and the part that really sucks, and I bitched about this on the show before, is the storage isn't shareable with other people. It's per device. So if you want to share storage with people in your family, you can't. So you're paying. So let's say I upgrade, right? I upgrade to the 1 terabyte a month plan. It's $10 a month. Well, I'm paying Apple $10 a month for 1 terabyte of storage, but I'm still only using the same amount of space, which is 200 gigabytes. And so that space, it remains unused for most of the life of the plan until you get to the point where you have to buy the next tier of plan. So you're paying Apple all this money for storage that you're not even using. It'd be nice to be able to share it with other people. Did I just blow your mind with my amazing point?
No,
I was just only chewed out.
Oh, thank you. I wasn't the only one.
Your jaw is open.
No.
Agape.
It was, you know, like, this is one of those AT&T. Well, I can't wait to get on AT&T.
Oh, dude, you want to hear about AT&T? Oh, here we go. Well, they did just update or increase their activation charges.
Yeah, I'm with Buster. I think that the amounts they charge for storage are relatively low. I mean, they're not as good as Google's, which are, you know,
it would be better
free,
if they
right?
did it free. Yeah.
Amazon charges $60 a year for unlimited storage.
Yeah, but it's really for what though? For what service? Because is that the iceberg or glacier or whatever it's called? You know, the really slow one. And they actually charge you for bandwidth, don't they? Rather than storage.
Well, no, you're talking about Amazon Web Services. I'm talking about their actual storage service. I think it's called Amazon Drive, and they charge you $60 a year. Amazon Drive cloud storage, online backup. Here, I'm looking at it right now. It's rated 4.5 out of 5 stars on the Google Play Store. So you get unlimited storage for photos, videos, music, documents, and more, accessible via phone, tablet, and computer, and it is $60 a year. So you pay $60 a year for unlimited storage to Amazon, or you pay Apple $120 a year for 1 terabyte of storage.
Yeah. Well, can you do anything useful with the Amazon stuff? Can you put your iCloud photo library into
Well,
it?
No, you can't, because Apple wouldn't allow you to do that. I would like to see, this is never going to happen. I know this is pie in the sky, but I would love to see Apple open up that ecosystem so you could move your iCloud photo library somewhere else and have the service work. But of course, they would never do that. But I guess my point is you're paying a lot more to Apple because of the service, whereas you could be using a service like Amazon Drive and maybe paying a lot less, but it wouldn't sync as well across all your devices and that type of thing. And you'd have to use like the Amazon Drive app to like access all of your photos, and of course, you know, you just don't have the ease of use.
Right.
But I mean, comparing the prices, it's like the Amazon deal is a much better deal. I think that's it on the.
We didn't talk about the Apple Watch, which I think was
okay.
That was interesting, because you know that the numbers there were huge. Again, like the story was that the Apple Watch is a big bust. No one's buying.
Well, they
it.
Haven't told you how many they've sold.
Well,
they just said it was. They just said it was. They couldn't make them fast enough, but that can mean anything.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, but they said the numbers that have come out of it, right? Which is like, what was it? I had it here. I mean, they captured 63% of the smartwatch market.
Mm.
and it was 5.2. I'm sorry, it was an estimate. The estimates were 5.2 million sold, which is pretty good.
How big is the smart watch market, though? I kind of wonder that.
Well, it's not huge.
I really do.
Not as big as the smartphone market, obviously. But
and I still wonder, again, just being honest here, I still wonder if the smartwatch is ever going to be a real thing. And by that, I mean if it's ever going to be ubiquitous, like everyone's just going to have one, you know, or if it's going
to
remain
I think
this
it
niche
will,
thing
because
only...
the technology inside watches needs to be upgraded, basically. Like, watches have been the same for so long, and now smartwatches, you know, you're carrying a small computer in that same fashion piece. So I do think, like, eventually, I think even now, like, I see Apple Watch all the time in the wild. I think people dig it.
That's surprising. I feel like I never see Apple Watches anywhere.
Really? I see them all the time out here in Phoenix.
Maybe I'm not looking for them, or maybe it's because
you're in Seattle, where
I live in Seattle and everyone's wearing long sleeves.
Yeah.
Well, everyone's wearing long sleeve shirts and jackets and stuff, and you're in Phoenix, everyone's walking around in thongs.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Well, it says the Apple's other category, right, which includes the Apple TV, the Apple Watch, the Beats products, the iPod, and then Apple brand and third party accessories brought in $4.2 billion in that quarter. $4.2 billion. That's a bucket load of money.
It really is. And that's the thing that really is amazing when you look at the numbers is how the smaller parts of Apple's businesses would be considered in any other earnings report from any other business would be considered to be this amazing, profitable business. And for Apple, it's just this tiny little speck
right. Some spare change.
On their balance sheet, right?
Yeah.
They've got so many huge businesses. It's really kind of astounding. Okay, I think that's it. Why don't we move on to the last segment of the show, an all-new Faves and Raves, and Faves and Raves, and... Lander?
Faves and Raves.
That was beautiful. Lovely. Yeah. Thank you. This is the segment where we pitch our favorite tech and apps and then vote on which one is best. We've all got our picks. Would anyone like to go first?
I can go first.
Okay. Mandy, Buster, you got an interesting one, I think.
I have a drone.
Let's hear it.
It's always drones lately.
Yet another
drone. And this one's actually
How many drones do you have right now?
Well, working drones, zero right now. But
broken drones.
This one got broken too. It's the Parrot Bebop 2. And it's pretty nice. Like, the nice thing about it is it's super cheap, like $550. And it does HD video. It's pretty small. It's not as small and like compact as the Mavic because its legs don't fold in. But other than that, it's actually a super solid drone. Pretty dang fun to fly. Like, the battery lasts 25 minutes. So it's actually... I think I've seen Casey Neistat use it before, and he said the camera looked like a potato. But I thought it actually looked pretty decent. Like,
I think I may have seen that that review. Wasn't he comparing it to the Mavic?
Yeah, yeah. And it's
and it really truly did look terrible side by side with the Mavic.
I wonder if he had the Bebop 1, because the Bebop 2, it looks a little bit better. Like, I gave it to a friend to fly around a bunch, and he got some pretty sweet videos. My biggest problem with it is the app. Parrot software kind of does suck, and to like get smart flight modes you have to pay like $5 extra in the app to get like stuff. Like, it's like, oh god, I just bought a $500 drone and you won't give me the software for free? That's stupid. Other than that, like, it's actually really solid. If anybody's looking to get into like droning and doesn't want to go full bore on a Mavic and want something cheap, I definitely think the Bebop 2 is kind of like a nice starter drone and stuff.
You know what other drone would be good to start on? I think we may have brought this up on the show before, but the 3DR.
The 3DR.
You said you know a guy who like worked for that company, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the founder.
The founder.
Chris Anderson, yeah. He was.
They are practically giving those drones away. Like, you can buy, they used to be like $1,000, and Best Buy has been selling them pretty regularly for $300 because... Didn't that company, they pretty much abandoned their consumer drone.
Right, and they're selling off all the old stock. So it's the end of the line for this drone, which, you know, could be an issue. It was a really expensive, really well-made semi-pro drone. It's really nice.
It's like $250 now. Wow.
Is it really? Yeah, I mean, they pretty much are giving them away. And I've read good reviews. People have been really happy with that drone. Of course, The issue being that if you break it, it's going to be maybe impossible to get replacement parts for it. And if you've been following how often Buster breaks drones, you know that it's certainly possible to fall into a mountain, into a cliff.
Well, you said at the beginning of this section that you don't have any working ones. Did you manage to bust up the B-bar?
It's not broken, but the camera doesn't focus anymore. Like, it crashed, and so I still get the video feed, but everything's fuzzy. So I can still fly it around, but yeah, it's worthless if you don't have good video.
Yeah, what's the point of flying a drone if you don't have a camera attached to it?
Yeah,
I'll go next. My pick is a simple one, but it's a product that I really like a lot. It is called the Stealth Sling Strap from Cub and Company. This little company, they sent me out a camera strap for my mirrorless camera, and it is one of the most gorgeous camera accessories I've used. If you are into photography equipment, for whatever reason, a lot of the gear that you see out there is very utilitarian and doesn't have a cool aesthetic and is oftentimes over-engineered for like comfort or durability or something. Cub and Company makes beautiful, simple leather straps for your camera equipment, and especially if you have a mirrorless camera, they're perfect because many of them are very minimal, and they don't provide a lot of padding or anything on the shoulder, but you don't need that with a mirrorless camera because it's so lightweight to begin with. And they add to the aesthetic of your camera, especially if you have like a Fuji X-T1 or something like that. They're just gorgeous. The strap is $90, but for the craftsmanship that you get, for the design, the aesthetic that you get, I actually think it's probably priced a little bit less than it could be. You could check them out at cubandcompany.com. Again, the one that I got was the Stealth Sling Strap, but they have a whole bunch of other ones in a variety of colors. The one I got was black. Gorgeous camera straps. Exactly what your inner hipster wants. If you have a greasy mustache and you like to wear a monocle when you read, like Leander does, or you live in Brooklyn near Alexi Heath, you're going to love this camera strap. All right, Leander, what's your pick?
All right, well, I'm checking out the camera straps. Mine's a watch band for the Apple Watch.
Okay.
And it's a ceramic watch band made by Monoware. And so it's
Monocleware?
No, yeah.
Leander's favorite website, Monocleware.
Yeah, a matching monocle, matching Apple Watch. It's Monoware, MONOWAEAR, Monoware. And it's like the website is actually Monoware Design. And in fact, we posted up a picture on our Instagram feed a couple of days ago. This strap, and it got a few comments. It's really nice looking. It's a metal band with sort of ceramic links, and it looks really distinctive. It's really really nice, really attractive, really hard wearing, really durable, really well made.
Well, now what's the name of the strap? Because I'm on their website right now, and it looks like they have all like leather ones and canvas ones and all that kind of stuff.
It's called it's just the ceramic band.
There it is. The ceramic.
So you see it,
band.
The ceramic there, yeah.
Cool.
And it's white ceramic with a sort of embedded into a black into a silver steel.
I see.
Metal band.
I wish they made this just all white, you know, and then you could pair it with the ceramic Apple Watch. That would be
right. Well, you might be able to do that anyway. The metal band comes in two different finishes. One sort of an aluminum looking finish to make it. Match the aluminum sport watches.
Yep.
And then there's a silver finish that makes it match the stainless steel ones.
Ah, I see. Okay, cool.
And yeah, it's $120 from Monoware. In fact, all their bands are really nice.
$120 for a link bracelet like this is really kind of reasonable, I think.
Yeah, it's a lot cheaper than Apple selling metal link bracelets for.
I mean, as long as it's not just some simple stainless steel band, you can get those things on eBay for like $10.
No, this one's really well made. I had to take out a couple of links, and it comes with sort of standard band pins. you know, the little springy pins. Mm-hmm. So you push the head in, and then it pops out of the hole. And they're a little bit fiddly to get them to go back in again. You know, and they're easily prone to shooting like a rocket across the room because they're spring loaded. So if you let them go, so I had to go hunting for it a couple of times to take the links out. But it, you know, I've been wearing it for a couple of weeks now, and it's really, really, really solid. Like, I bought some cheap metal bands on Amazon, mm-hmm. and they're really not worth it. You think you're getting a great deal? They look great, right? The picture looks great, and you go, oh my goodness, you know, how can this be like $20? But you know, they're junk.
It's hit or miss on Amazon. I bought, in fact, one of the best purchases I made in 2016 was an Apple Milanese Loop stainless steel band on Amazon. Mm-hmm. I bought this band for $7, and I was positive this is going to be a total piece of shite. This is my favorite Apple Watch band. It works perfectly. And for $7, it is such an astounding deal that I would highly recommend it to everyone. If you want to know the name of it, it's the Jet Tech 42mm Milanese Loop on Amazon, and I think now it's $13. I think I bought it for like $8 or $7 or something. And it looks exactly like the Milanese Loop that Apple sells for hundreds of dollars. And it performs really well too, and it's cool because you can get it wet, you can, you know, shower with it and that type of thing. And it dries off really fast because it's basically like Mithril, and you all know how much I love Mithril. Beautiful little simple strap. $8. So it really, it's just hit or miss. I mean, I would say most of the straps on Amazon are total garbage.
Well, I got one very much like it. And I thought, I thought it was, you know, it wasn't really very good at all. It ripped all the hairs out of my arm, and then it gave me a rash.
What was it made out of? Do you remember? Well, was it steel?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've got it around here somewhere. I don't think it has a brand name on it.
He was hewn in the back alleys of Shanghai and covered with some type of pesticide.
No, it was like you. I bought it off of Amazon, you know, for like $7 or something.
Yeah.
And Milanese Loop looked really good. Turned out to be horrible.
It turned your wrist green and made all your hair fall out.
And hairless. Hairless and green, yeah.
And hair will no longer ever grow in that one spot. It's just forever hairless in that one spot. But, you know, you saved yourself $100. Okay, well, there you have it. We got a vote now. Who's voting for what, Leander? Who sounds better to you?
I think I'll vote. I don't know. Yeah, I was trying to check out yours. I couldn't find it.
You couldn't find the...
what's it called?
Oh, the camera strap?
The camera strap, yeah.
The Stealth Sling strap from Cub and Company. Well, let's see here. I am going to go
I see it, yeah.
I'm going to go with... While you're looking that up, I'm going to have to go with Buster's pick because I love drones. And I've been trying to get my hands on a Mavic Pro and have been unable to actually get one. My order was just canceled. I was telling Buster before the show. So maybe I'll check this one out. Save myself, you know, $500 and, you know, another 3 months of waiting and start with something a little bit simple. As long as the camera is decent, though, I'm going to have to do some YouTube searching and see what the camera looks like, dude.
Yeah, it's not bad. But also, I think Parrot's drone division is in trouble. I think they like recently fired like 100 employees from it, so who knows how long they'll be making drones for. So
Parrot used to be the company making that stuff. Remember at CES they had like drones like flying in unison, like, you know, Terminator 3 style creepy stuff, and now DJI came in and just ate everyone's lunch.
Took their
milk, took their lunch money, and just punched them right in the nose. And what else does Parrot make now? Didn't they make like those weird like jumping toys?
Yeah, they make all kinds of weird toys.
They do all sorts of stuff. Yeah. You know, their audio stuff's really good, isn't it?
And they do, I think they do headphones.
They make audio stuff too.
They make like smart plant pots things, connected gardens or whatever. So they're into all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah, their Zik headphones, the Bluetooth ones, they're really, really good. They're really amazing.
Wow, I didn't know they made Bluetooth headphones. Did you pay them on a previous show?
They sound astonishing. They're designed by Philip Stark.
Mm-hmm.
And they sound great.
Is that Ned Stark's
really
brother?
Yeah, Philippe.
He went into a different business. Good for him. He left Winterfell and wanted to become with a dream of becoming a headphone designer. I'm leaving, Ned. I'm going to take over the world of headphones. okay, later. Who's sounds best to you?
Well, I think I'm going to vote for Buster too. Yeah, the phone sounds hot. Yeah.
We apparently haven't waited long enough since doing this segment. You guys didn't bite on the camera strap? Really, Buster, you got to be voting for the camera strap.
Well, I have to because it's that or an Apple Watch bracelet.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm surprised how thin and dainty looking this camera strap is that you chose.
Dude, I know. It's perfect, right?
For a woman.
Just the right amount of feminism for you.
Yeah. No, it looks pretty.
Unleashing your inner woman.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
winner again.
There you have it.
As always.
Another faves and raves and another loss for me.
Well, I don't know how. Came in second.
You got one vote. Yeah,
that's right. I did beat Leander. And you know what? That makes me feel better. I don't have to win, but as long as I beat Leander, gosh darn it, that's good enough for me. All righty, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the cult cast we have for you guys this week. Remember, if you want to come make your suggestions, tell us what you would like to see us do differently in this new year, we would love to hear from you on Twitter. I'm at ErefonBustersBST3R. Leander is Elkini. And then also on our subreddit, thecultcast.reddit.com. I would love to hear your thoughts, so please come toss those in there. This has been The Cult Cast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of The Cult Cast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys and gals. Buster, you take it.
Next time!
Boom. You put some Alex the Heath on that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I dabbed afterwards, too.
Hi guys, it's me, Alex.
I can't really hear anything though.
You can't hear anything?
Hold on, I think I might have the volume down.
Yeah, try that. Best $5 I ever spent was for this app called Shush.
Shush? What does it do?
Shush! I told you guys before, you made fun of me for spending $5 on it. All it does is turn your function key into a mute button. So when you press it, it cuts out all your audio.
Hmm. How is that useful?
So now I can cough and fart as loud as I want, and you guys don't have to hear it. Unlike Leander, who just lets him rip, and we have to have him in the recording. Someone's like talking about the review of some gadget, and then like in the background you hear,
whip whip.
You totally made that up. I haven't.
I can't confirm that I've heard it before, but yeah.
Yeah.